your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Who would it now?
ESPN Radio, 97.5, 92.5. Welcome into the bullpen. We're back. It's been a while, at least for me. I think it's been about 3 weeks for me. The boys were in Lake Charles a couple weekends ago, but it's been a good solid 3 weeks for me.
Lazy.
Yeah, I know. I made sure in my tweet earlier today to at our good friend Not Santa on Twitter, because he always hits us up on Saturday when we're not on, and heads up, Not Santa, we're not on next week. College basketball is on the airwaves. Next week, not our fault. It's the Aggies' fault. It's the Aggies' fault next time. But anyway, I am Brian McDonald. You can find me on Twitter at SackByBMAC, joined by Cam Smith. You can find him at Clutch City Cam as Arizona State scores. Sean, there you go.
And then
Sean Mapes, who's got some action on Arizona State. You can find him on Twitter at Sean A. Mapes, and our man John Belmer behind the glass is on Twitter at Third Coast Johnny. So we're obviously, like most of you, or if you're college football fans, keeping up with what's going on in the Big 12 with the Arizona State Iowa State game, not the Houston Cougars, sorry, Cam. But we'll be talking college.
What was that?
he took a drive by. Like, the first thing he did when he got in today was talk crap about Texas. I was getting one back.
I did not talk crap.
That must have been right before
one
back.
I just said unlikely. Back.
Yeah, I was talking about how like they could win if they did this or that, and he first opens the door. Unlikely. I'm like, okay, Cam, thanks.
Wow.
How's your team doing?
What bowl
game is your team in? Anyway,
the at home bowl.
That's why I came in late. I didn't want to have to deal with Cam.
The staycation bowl is what the Houston Cougars
That's
played
a good
in.
One. I like that one.
All right, thank you. All right. Anyway, we'll talk some more college football in a little bit. Talk about the playoff rankings. What we think might or might not be on the line today. Also, going to get into the NFL. Like maybe what teams can make the playoffs that are currently out. Of course, the second hour, we'll have Mount Rushmore plus one and the return of Why So Serious, because some ESPN 97.5 personalities this week, I thought, took things way too seriously.
What?
Including both our shows. Sean, from one of your – well, you work half the shows at the station, so it's almost a given.
Yeah.
They would have to come from one of your shows. But from one of Sean's show and my show as well. So we'll get into that later. But right now we're going to start with the Texans and kind of angle it from what we saw – on Thursday night with the Lions getting to 12-1 with their win, their last-second field goal win, and the cojones of Dan Campbell to get them that win over the Green Bay Packers by the field goal at the buzzer. And, Sean, you and I were talking about this, trying to figure out how we wanted to – because, I mean, it's a bye week. We don't want to talk Aziz. I mean, it's been done to death. So
dirtiest hit I've seen in 48 years, yeah.
So, was that again?
It was the dirtiest hit I've seen in 48 years.
Thank you. Yeah,
me and John McClane.
You and John McClane. Yeah. God. I feel very torn. I'm not going to get into his knees right now. We'll save that for Why So Serious.
I mean, he did go with his forearm.
I'm saving that for Why So Serious. You know what? Screw it. Pull the band-aid off.
No, don't give in.
I won't give in. So we're trying to think about how we wanted to, you know, we want to talk Texans, but it's a bye week. You know, what are we going to talk about? And so Lions, I think, gave us a favor there with getting to 12-1. They look like the best team in football. And the thought is, you know, how close are the Texans to the Lions? How, you know, can they get there this year? What do they need to do to get there? And, I mean, it's easy to say, like, on the field, they're very close, because the one time they played this year, it was a 3-point game where you, quote-unquote, should have won. So that is certainly one way to look at it, in a way that I think people wearing the battle red glasses would look at it. But I don't know, man. I had high hopes for this team coming in. I had them in my predictions winning 11 games, getting to the conference championship. But I look at these two teams, the Lions and the Texans, and even with the Lions dealing with defensive line injuries, including Aiden Hutchinson, and being a little banged up, I don't know. I just don't see this team as all that close to the Lions right now. Like, the Lions are, they just have so much depth across the board. They do all the little things right. They have explosive players. They have playmakers. They have every single box you could possibly try to check. You can check for the Lions, and I just have nagging doubts about those same things with the Texans.
And they just have a level of, like,
swagger?
Yeah, and just like cohesiveness. I guess like it goes hand in hand with the swagger.
Confidence,
like
swagger.
They just and like they know who they are. Like every game.
Yes.
Every game
Dan
they go
Campbell.
In.
They're Dan Campbell.
Yeah, and they play a Lions game. Like they impose their will on the other team, not they don't have to adjust what they're doing.
They establish it.
Yeah, they do actually very much.
They very much establish it.
But yeah, they go in and you see it like a microcosm of it is the fourth down decision making that can or that Dan Campbell makes where on a lot of times on a third and six, they'll just run up the middle because they know that if they get 4 yards, they're going to go for it.
Yeah.
And then they can just run it up the middle again. Like they have a cohesive, like top-down identity that it really shows up every week. And obviously they have a lot of really great players as well. But, I mean, if you go player for player, especially who's available right now for both the teams, like the Texans aren't that far away on talent than the Lions, I think, especially if you take in count all the defensive injuries that they have.
I don't think I can make, and Cam jump in here, but I don't think I can make that. I think you can make that argument for most position groups. I don't think I could say that at the skill positions. Like Joe Mixon and Nico Collins are great, but I would rather have Amon-Ra. They obviously have the
over
better
Nico Collins.
I would.
Okay.
They have the better tight end, even though you know for fantasy purposes, Laporta hasn't done anything this year. And then they're obviously much, even though Mixon's been great, they're obviously deeper at running back because they got two really good guys who are mm-hmm. playing as well as Mixon. So, Cam, what is your thought on this?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Texans are close to the Lions. And for the Lions, I feel like this is one of those teams that is, like, perfectly put together from where they are, like, city-wise. Like, because when you think of Detroit, you think hard-nosed grinding team. And that's exactly what this team is. Like, they're all about the trenches. They have a great offensive line. They have a great defensive line, even though Hutchinson's been out. They can ground and pound the ball with Montgomery and then hit you on the outside with Gibbs. And then I think Dan Campbell is, like, the perfect coach for this team. And we see what he's done with this team over the last 2.5 years. And so as far as, like, level of play, I'm with you, B-Mac. I mean, I think that Detroit by far has better athletes at the skill positions. For me, I think Nico and St. Brown are almost.
You could call it a wash. I probably would rather have Amon-Ra, but I don't fault anyone taking Nico.
Yeah, like I'd be happy with either one. And even though as great as Joe Mixon's been when he's been on the field, would I rather have Joe Mixon and Pierce or Gibbs and Montgomery? Definitely Gibbs and Montgomery.
Give me Pierce. Oh.
I mean, well, when you factor in Dare too,
yeah.
Come
oh
on.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
kick
for sure.
Three phases of the game, guys,
and then yeah, tight end too. I mean, the tight ends for the Texans have been somewhat non-existent.
Has Dalton Schultz separated once this season?
No.
I mean, he had a touchdown last game, great, but like
when he was wide open, they just left him alone.
What's that?
No, they just
separation.
They left him alone. They're like,
he lost his man.
This slow ass Caucasian. No, we're not going to guard this guy.
And the thing is even
sorry, that was a little Granado-ish.
Even though Laporta has had somewhat
that
of like
pretty Granado.
Laporta's had somewhat of a down year, I guess statistically.
Yeah, for fantasy purposes.
But you also have to realize they weren't getting this production out of Jameis Williamson last year, so I think that's kind of
he's had a better year.
Yeah, he's had a better year. So I think that the Detroit Lions are here, and the Texans are like.
But this is
a radio medium.
Yeah,
you're holding your hands.
I mean,
when people go here and here,
you're holding your hands up because like John Belmer can see you, but you're on the radio.
but you have to take into account defense and on the two teams that are healthy right like the healthy
I would
right
take
now.
The Texans front four over the Lions.
They probably have the best three players on defense.
Yeah, Stingley,
Hunter and Anderson.
I would agree with that. I would still probably take the Lions secondary minus Stingley over what the Texans have, because even when Petrie's there, you have concerns about him getting locked up in man coverage when he's in the slot. We saw in the Lions game. And the Lions did a great job of, even when they would get Petrie on there, they were able to motion guys because the Texans don't adjust and play zone.
This secondary that intercepted Jared Goff 5 times?
Yeah, I know. Look, it's that is a tough argument to make. I like some of those guys better. Other than Stingley, I like most of those guys better than what the Texans have. Although Kalen Bullock has been a great find in the third round as a rookie safety. But do you guys feel like this is a gap? Like, I'm, Cam and I think the gap is larger than you do, Sean. But
I think the gap in talent is close.
Okay.
Now we go to coaching.
Now we go to coaching. All right. Well, let's get into that. Like, do you think this? Well, let's talk about the coaching. And do you think this is a gap? Wherever we perceive that gap to be, is this a gap that can be made up realistically in one off season? Going from, because they're not there this year. I think we all agree.
Yeah.
Can they get there next year?
Yeah, because
if Ben Johnson gets a head coaching job and Bobby Slowick goes somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
the biggest difference.
I think when we're doing a lot of talk, like that is the. And I mean, Aaron Glenn's also a great DC, but.
But we're fine with obviously D'Amico.
Yeah, D'Amico and. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't. The main separation between these teams is that you have the Ben Johnson's basically playing chess. And
probably the best
Bobby
offensive
Slowick's
coordinator
playing
in
checkers
the game.
Every yeah. game, like if you're gonna make the comparison, so yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, the way they can change that is nail a draft and hope Ben Johnson's the head coach of the Bears next year.
Yeah, I mean that's one way because I think that's really going to be the way they're going to have to make up ground because when you look at the situation they're going to be in, I don't want to call it an all in off season that they went through this last season. But you spend the money on Danico Autry, you spend the money on Danielle Hunter, you spend the money on Azeez Al-Shaair, you obviously trade away a draft pick, a second-round pick to get Diggs, you decide to trade for Mixon, invest more money on him. I don't think they're going to have the type of cap to have a transformative offseason next year. And obviously, they got to make changes on the offensive line. I don't know if there's going to be a lot more left for them to, like, financially, like, they're going to have a lot more room other than hopefully addressing the offensive line because of the investments they made this last offseason. We'll see. The salary cap always goes up and up and up, and once we get that number...
You can roll over space.
Yeah, you can roll over, but they don't have much space. They have, like, $5 million in space.
They filled it up, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe the salary cap goes up so much that affords them some wiggle room, but it doesn't feel like they're going to have the financial flexibility going into next offseason to where they could just overhaul all the problem areas we're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that they are like a good draft away from solving a couple problems. And Nick Caseri has.
I really don't want him draft. I don't want Caseri drafting offensive line.
Well, so. Offensive line. That's
I don't trust him drafting offensive line.
Offensive line, you're just going to have to reshuffle the deck. I trust him. The alchemy is better because like they had a decent offensive line last year with
pass blocking, yeah, run blocking was
but while getting smoked with injuries the entire time, and then this season until Kenyon Green got hurt in the Jets game, they had their plans day one starting offensive line the entire time and they stunk.
Yeah, yeah, like I trust Nick Caserio in most places with especially like when we're talking about draft, I trust him drafting defensive backs. He's made a number of good picks there, but I mean you look at his picks on the offensive line, it's like. Let's maybe save this one for free agency. I don't know if I trust these scouting college guys.
But I mean, you're going to have to, you're looking at two guards and a center?
Yeah, and I think that's part of what could still help them out is that you're not talking about going to sign a premier tackle.
Yeah.
I mean, for the dollar amount they will have, if you're talking about at least two players between the two guards and center, I think you're talking about at least two, and then you'll figure it out, let's say, with Jarrett Patterson. As one of the three guys. Yeah. So if you're only having to sign two interior offensive linemen to, quote-unquote, overhaul your offensive line, I think they'd still be able to afford that.
So Tunsil, two mystery people, Patterson and Blake Fisher?
/ Tytus Howard, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'd let that be a camp battle, but I don't know.
Drafted someone in the second round. He's not going to play your team.
I just don't trust him drafting offensive lineman. Like let's identify
because
your
Kenyon
strengths.
Green stinks. You don't think Blake Fisher?
Well, I mean, Blake Fisher hasn't played all that well when he's gotten to the game. And who was there was another player he drafted. I'm blanking.
Juice Scruggs.
Exactly. I haven't really been thrilled with Juice Scruggs. Like, I mean, you're killing it drafting defensive backs, Nick. Let's stick with draft and defensive backs, but offensive line, maybe let's go to free agency.
They're going to have to draft a guard.
I know.
They're going to have
just to do it, right? Like, just to keep the...
Identify your strengths and hit on those and avoid the weaknesses.
You're going to have to replace Kenyon Green somehow. Got to draft him.
Free agency and trade. That's how you do it. All right, we got to get out. Other side of the break, Sean's going to lead us through the Rockets who... dropped a pivotal game in the regular season against the Golden State Warriors ahead of their in-season tournament game against the Golden State Warriors. That when the bullpen returns on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. It's the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Sean Mapes, Cam Smith.
What are we laughing about? And, what happened?
Cam Smith dealing with a knee injury.
Once a show. It's Cam. Given once a show. I'm going to nail
that,
my
you
knee.
You do that a lot, bro.
Brian McDonald. two working knees?
Yeah, I've had one ACL surgery, but they're fine for the moment.
Okay, right now. And John Belmer, best shape of his life, right?
I guess, yeah.
You know who's not in the best shape of their life? The Houston Rockets. What a transition. It's a great transition.
That, I mean, that's professional work.
It's a great transition when you know.
Over to you.
You know, it's a great when you go, you know who's not what I just said? Houston Rockets, first losing streak of the season. Two games.
I mean, I guess technically it is a streak. I mean, really, this could have been saved for why so, like, this part of it could have been saved for why so serious, because, I mean, including the two guys on my, well, actually, it was just Joel that was freaking out. But he was like, because he was someone that didn't think they would be able to get into the top six seeds, quote unquote, make the playoffs without being in the play-in. Mm. And he took the moment of them losing the game against the Warriors to victory lap in December, on December 6th, that opinion was like, it's their first, I had to stop it, but someone was like, this is the first time they've lost two games in a row all season long. They're still, what, the two seed at the moment?
Yeah, yes, I believe
if
so.
If the playoffs started today?
Yeah, it would be crazy if the playoffs started today.
It would be ridiculous.
That they haven't even finished the NBA Cup. You're coming off 99-93 loss to the Warriors, a final score straight out of 2006. And
my type of basketball.
I mean, 35% for the field is, I don't think, is anyone's type
That's
of basketball.
That's my type of basketball.
Okay. And no Curry, no Draymond for the Warriors, as the Warriors get this, their 15th straight win against the Houston Rockets.
Jesus Christ.
Like, if you had told me to guess, like, beforehand, like, how many in a row they lost to the Rockets had lost to them,
I'd say, like, five.
Yeah, yeah. Because I just figured, I mean, they play on the average season four times. I know there was, like, sometimes there's a scheduling quirk where you only play three times in the regular season. But for the most part, they play four times a year. It's like, they got to get, you know, one on a night where the Warriors are sitting people or there's an injury. There's got to be one that they get. I know the Rockets were really bad for two seasons under Steven Silas, but it's like, man, they had to have gotten one.
It really is the last 2 years where I'm like, they didn't get one last year or this year. I mean, obviously this year. I can remember the two times they lost. But like,
but yeah, I mean, I guess 0-6 over like the last two seasons when the Rockets have been competitive.
Kevin Porter Jr., Christian Wood era, not surprised that they're 0-4 against the Warriors. But this one, it added to the losing streak. Bad game from Fred VanVleet, Jalen Green, Alperen Şengün until the fourth quarter where he was actually good in the fourth quarter. He was just so bad in the first three that even the Turkish Rockets fans turned against him. Do you see that?
No, I didn't. The only thing I know of the Turkish Rockets fans are their disdain for John and Lance. Good deal.
Yeah, no, there's it was something about like, this is why you'll never be a great player in the league, because he was like 2-10. And he was like, you're wasting the support that you get from Turkish fans and testing our patience for staying up in the middle of the night to watch this.
Okay. Impromptu, why so serious dramatic. Turkish fans? Jesus.
To be fair, the game did start at like 4 a.m. Turkish time. So
I mean, I never heard Yao fans say this. I'm just saying.
Well, they didn't have Twitter.
I mean, Chinese basketball fans, greater sign Turkish
Twitter.
Basketball fans. That's all I'm going to say. I'm pro-China on this one, Sean.
That's a good point. I think clip they that. Would have
don't,
said.
Don't clip that.
Clip that. I'm pro-China on this one, Sean.
I'm pro-China on this, but don't clip that. Thank you.
Oh, it's getting clipped.
Where were we? China?
Not just the Turkish fans weren't the only fans that were fed up the American Houston Rockets fans mm-hmm. were also fed up. People calling this an organizational embarrassment. People calling this the worst loss of the season.
It's Are you serious?
Yes.
It's December.
A team that's lost to the Trailblazers and Hornets. This is the worst loss of the season.
Now the Hornets one was an embarrassment. I mean, it was opening night, but it was an embarrassment. That was an embarrassment.
They've lost to the Spurs. They have a lot of bad losses. Spurs not
they,
that bad.
They do. They're still like second or third in the West, though. And it's December.
How quickly? Look, I love Houston, but
thank you.
It is so frustrating how quickly people get so dramatic and like, oh my God, this season's already over. Especially when like this is the same Rockets team that people thought they might slide in to like the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And here they are sitting at the second seed. And oh my God, they lost to the Warriors by 6. But you have to realize when they played the Warriors at the time, the Rockets had played 4 more games in the season than the Warriors. So yeah, I get they don't have Steph Curry, but technically they're a healthier, more energized team when you're playing 4 less games.
And it's on the road.
Yeah, it's
in the road. It's just like the Rockets are not going to win every game. So like freaking out and saying this is the worst loss of the season when it was a 6-point game is just so stupid.
Defense held them under 100 points.
My type of basketball.
That sure is.
But see, that's
I remember the day when you used to get free stuff from McDonald's when the team went over 100.
But like that
100
that,
points got right. me a Big Mac, Sean.
Look, I'm
that
not
was
a,
my basketball.
I've seen semi-pro.
That's a great movie. I'm not the type of person that's always going to say like there's a bright spot in a loss. But like, even though we lost, Rockets still held Golden State under 100 points too. So like, even though the offense wasn't there, the defense was still very much there. So like, this whole overreaction a month into the season is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I just don't think that this happens a lot where every Rockets game is a referendum on something. It's either a referendum yes. on the Rockets.
So true.
It's a referendum on Jalen Green, on Jabari Smith, on
Şengün. It can't be Cam Whitmore because he's in the G League.
And in the positive sense, it's a referendum on Thompson and Eason most nights where it's, oh my God, these guys, next stars of the league. And, you know, they no Eason for the Rockets Thursday night, but you got a team that is going to face the same Warriors team for all the marbles. Well, all the
quarterfinal marbles,
all the NBA Cup marbles
in the quarterfinals
in the Toyota Center on Wednesday, I believe the 11th. Is that
like the opinion is pretty mixed. Are you guys into the in-season tournament? Like, because I don't really care.
When I first heard about it, when it was the first year, last year, right?
Yeah, last year.
When I first heard about it, I thought it was kind of silly. Like, I didn't understand, like, why are we, college basketball is known for, like, little random in-season tournaments. Like, mm-hmm. why are we?
Yeah, like the Maui Invitational.
It was like,
or something.
Well, yeah, it's like, is the NBA, like, really in that big of a need to compete with the NFL that they have to throw an in-season tournament in? But to be honest, I've kind of enjoyed it, so position has kind of changed.
The games do feel like there's a little bit more verve in these games, a little bit more juice in these games, and essentially like, oh my God, we ruined the sanctity of November and December regular season basketball. Like anything you can do to add to this, like I'm pro.
I do hate some of the courts though.
Sure.
Some of the courts they have played on have just been hideous.
The reds are tough.
Yeah, like, the Reds really bleed on the screen.
Yeah, what is this, Boise State? Like, just leave it to regular brown hardwood.
You're Mountain West champions. I wasn't coming from it from it's ruining November basketball. Like, who cares? Most people, and me, myself included, don't usually get into basketball until Christmas. But it's just, like, overall, what am I going to, like, if I'm a Lakers fan, did I go out and buy an in-season tournament shirt? Like, I agree with you that the basketball, like, if I'm going to tune in to watch a game, I'm probably going to watch a more competitive game if it's an in-season tournament game. So there is value in that, but I can't get myself to a point where I care about the results in the stakes at hand, if that makes sense.
I hear you.
Like, it's just like, even if the Rockets went on to win the in-season tournament, I'm not buying.
I'm calling out if work the next day.
Like, I'm not lining up outside Academy like we did for Astros World Series gear. I'm not even going 5 days later when it's discounted because no one's bought it. Like, I just don't care.
Yes. You're a bad fan, B-Mac.
Maybe.
Fake fan. Yeah, no, I mean, the cup thing, like, you're going to need, like 20 years of history to get people to care a little bit about it. But I think just in general, it's just like it gives you something to track early in the season.
Sure.
Where for the most part, we're going, hey, it's a long season. Hey, you got 60 more games to go. Like even the Rockets 15-8, like I'd be surprised if they're not in the playoffs. But there is so much basketball left to be played that who knows? The NBA Cup is at least like, hey, I know these five games matter. Like I know we need to count these five games for a thing. And then at the end of the day, someone's going to get a trophy. I think it does help that it is so early in the season that bad teams don't know they're bad yet. And so if you had it later in the season, like...
teams are already packing it up in their mind.
And the good teams would be like, hey, we're playing for something way more important later. So we're you have to have it early in the season.
Well, not only for the reason you mentioned, but also because, I mean, if you're trying to get NBA fans to watch games before Christmas... let's schedule the tournament leading up to basically your Christmas Day games.
That's the thing. And I think it also helps with, because I think we've seen a lot of this lately in the NBA, is players just taking off games to just take off games. And I think with the in-season tournament, that kind of pushes for them to have to play.
Yeah, there's
more.
That was certainly part
of the motivation.
Yeah, there's better participation.
Which I also appreciate because it was kind of getting ridiculous that players who were not hurt we're just taking the second game of a back-to-back off, and it's just like what are fans going to want to go to these games for then?
It's what Steph Curry did against the Rockets. Took it off. Left knee injury management. And I think partly that part, they don't want to tip their hand for the quarterfinal match.
Well, I think the Warriors knew, it's like, well, we could beat the Rockets without Steph. We won it 14 times in a row.
They did it earlier this year.
Yeah, we could beat the Rockets without Steph. No.
I think it's because they didn't want to show their hand with knowing that the big matchup is on Wednesday.
They're going to know that they run screens a lot for Steph, and they try to get him open off picks.
Yeah.
Oh,
Fred
VanVleet's
going to be like, who's this number 30 guy?
They wouldn't have seen this over the last 14 games they've lost to the Warriors and going back to the playoffs.
He's shooting from that far away?
16 when they first faced him.
Let him have that shot.
Yeah. He's
like 30 feet away.
He can't make it from the logo. That's insane. That is Steph, not a high percentage shot. Yeah. You know what? You tip your cap.
Why is the
first
coach pulled
him? It's a basket. You're on the basketball. You got to go find a cap. Then you tip it, and then you walk back to your bench. That's what you got to do. All right, we got to get out. We're a little bit over here. On the other side of the break, when we turn the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Going to get into the NFL. Which teams currently out of the playoffs do we think can get in? That when the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5. Having some fun during the break talking about Cam Skaterboy just trucking people in this Big 12 title game. What is the action you have on that, Sean, so people can follow along? I know you got action on both quarterbacks in this game.
Well, Cam Skaterboy is a running back. It's 160 rush receiving yards and more. And it's more on the Rocco Becht, the Iowa State quarterback.
That is
236 and a half.
Like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as promised, we're going to get into the NFL right now and give a look at what teams we think could make the playoffs that are currently outside. And if you have any thoughts on that or what we talked about earlier with the Texans or the Rockets, give us a call on the HRMP list line or a text, 713-780-3776. So, I mean, I think for the most part, when you look at the playoff, like the playoff field, if it ended today, for the NFL, it's pretty much already set, except for just kind of a few spots here. I mean, obviously the AFC East is beyond wrapped up. I mean, you have the Dolphins at 10-2. The next team is the Bills at 10-2. Sorry, and the Dolphins is the next team up at 5-7. So that is a lock. Now you could see a division lead change in the AFC North, but both the Steelers and the Ravens are in. Texans I guess we could have that conversation about, you know, the Colts and if they ran the table. And the Colts really only have one difficult game remaining, which is this week at Denver. But if they win that game, the rest of the schedule is pretty soft. But overall, I mean, I think we all agree the Texans are in. Chiefs are obviously in 11-1. And then it kind of really gets into, like, you have the Broncos and the Chargers at 8 wins, and then the Colts all the way down at 6. Do you see the Colts at 6-7, the Dolphins at 5-7? I guess as far down as we could go is maybe the Bengals at 4-8, which they probably have to run the table to get in at this point. Do you see any chance for the Colts, Dolphins, or Bengals to get into the playoffs?
A little bit. For the Colts, and it is the schedule that they have. It's just
pretty soft.
It's soft, and some of it is also a little bit of lack of faith, and the schedule that the Houston Texans have, where you could very easily see a 1-3 end of the year.
For see an 0-4. Let's be real.
I can't see an 0-4. No. I literally cannot see it.
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not picking it to happen. I think they go 2-2 in the remaining four. And let's just lay out the schedule. The Texans, of course. Out of the bye, they're home for Miami, at KC, home for Baltimore, and then at Tennessee. And then the Colts, like I said, they're on the road against the Broncos this week. That's by far their toughest remaining game after that. It's home Titans at the Giants, home Jaguars. So you got to assume the Colts are probably – if you're the Texans and thinking to yourself, how many wins do we need to assure that we're in the playoff? I think you have to assume that the Colts are going to get to 9 wins, with Titans at Giants, home Jaguars. So at that point, the Texans would only need to win one game to win by tiebreaker. Now, what game would that be? I mean, they just lost to the Titans at home, and you're going on the road to face them. I do think they beat the Dolphins, and the Colts will lose to the Broncos next week, and then the whole thing's over, and we don't have to talk about it anymore. But if either one of them slips up, against the Texans, if either the Texans lose to the Dolphins or the Colts beat the Broncos, then you have to go, all right, the door's open a little bit here.
Yeah, that's really the only team in the AFC that's out that I could see coming. Yeah, I mean, the Dolphins, I guess, also are 5-7, and they do, again, have some I guess destiny in their hands.
And you look at their schedule. They're home for the Jets this week. They have the Jets the last week of the season. In between that, the Texans, obviously, we mentioned. A 49ers team at home that's not playing well in the Browns. I mean, it's not a murderer's row. You got the Jets twice, the Browns, a beat-up 49ers team, and the Texans as probably your hardest game remaining.
Yeah, for me, it's because the Colts can win the division and the Dolphins can't.
True. The Dolphins would have to make up 2 games, whereas I guess they both have to make up 2 games, but it's different a little bit with the division versus the wild card.
Yeah.
Cam, you have any thoughts here?
I think it's going to be I don't see the Colts making the playoffs. I mean, I don't have nearly as much confidence in the Texans as I did at the start of the year, but I don't see – there's nothing about the Colts that – has me thinking that they can overtake.
If the Colts were the Bengals in this
yes,
spot,
yes,
you would yeah, be like, oh my god,
god yeah. here we go. Yeah, here's the classic collapse.
But it still is the Anthony Richardson Colts.
Yeah, I agree. Exactly. So the real races are over in the NFC, and specifically with 2 division races, because it's kind of a similar scenario with the division leaders. I mean, the Eagles and Commanders, the Eagles at 10 wins, Commanders at 8 wins, they're going to make the playoffs. They're in. Obviously, the Lions and the Vikings at 12 wins and 10 wins apiece. And same thing with the Packers at 9-4. They're all going to be in. And then you get to the NFC South and the NFC West, and it's just toss up a bunch of cards and see what lands face up as to determine who makes the playoffs. Right now, leading the NFC South is the Falcons on tiebreaker at 6-6, tied with the Buccaneers at 6-6. So, I mean, that's kind of the easy one if you were to say, like, well, which team currently not in the playoffs makes the playoffs? I mean, the Buccaneers are tied with the Falcons. That feels like the easiest pick amongst the group. But there's a similar situation in the West where no team in the division's out of it. The Seahawks lead the division at 7-5. Then the Cardinals and Rams are at 6-6, and the 49ers are all the way down at 5-7, 2 games out. So it feels like the team that's not in the playoffs right now to make the playoffs would come out of either the NFC South or the NFC West.
God, the Saints aren't out of it.
I guess they're not. I mean, they're two games out. I don't
imagine being 4-8.
And they're facing the Giants this weekend.
Yeah, being 4-8 and being like not out of it.
We saw the Saints.
We got the whole season ahead of us, boys.
The Saints did that years ago with that crazy Marshawn Lynch run.
Yeah, they were 7-9.
Where they were 7-9.
They were 7-9 that year. Yeah.
I mean, crazier things happen. I think honestly that Tampa.
Seattle was 7-9 that
Seattle
year.
Seattle was 7-9. Sorry,
New Orleans was like 13-3.
I honestly think Tampa Bay is over going to take the Falcons. Now that Mike Evans is back, Tampa Bay's looked a little better. And
yeah, Baker's Atlanta, not playing well recently, though.
Atlanta.
But Kirk Cousins is playing far worse. As badly as Mayfield is playing.
Atlanta and Tampa have already played. Atlanta won both games. So Tampa's going to have to be one game better. So like how it is right now, they're both 6-6. And the Falcons have the tiebreaker. The Bucs remaining schedule. Home against the Raiders. At Chargers, loss. That's for you, Cam.
I agree. That's right.
At Cowboys, Panthers, who, feisty. And then the Saints with, again, their entire season left in their hands.
I mean, I could easily see them going 4-1 in that stretch. The only one that I would say loss is to not just to placate Cam, but I think is the Chargers. Yeah. I mean, though everything well, else you
to,
said
also
in there.
Also to placate Cam. Come on.
I mean, it's also to placate Cam. Like we've already teased his Cougars enough. It's like, I'll give him one. I mean, plus his Chargers have my two favorite guys.
I got a chance to get him in here, Sean.
They got Hard Dog and G-Ro. Thank you for setting me up to get in. My two favorite coaches in the NFL, Hard Dog and G-Ro.
You're welcome.
Look at the Texans do to make them ground the Lions. Mark, clip this, Johnny Belmer. Forget about the China thing I said earlier. Clip this.
No, clip the China thing.
Hard Dog and G-Ro. That's going to catch the Texans up.
We can get both of them.
No, we don't need both.
Yeah, we got Mal McDonald over here.
That's not happening.
John Harbaugh is a coach that's moved around. Sometimes he takes the lower job, like a San Diego State, before he gets to move up to the big time, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, but he doesn't just bounce after 1 year, and he's got connections to the Chargers because he played.
I mean, sometimes you take the Utah job, or you take the San Diego State, then you move up to Stanford, and then you move up to the NFL. I'm just saying, I mean, maybe he wants to move up to the big time, get out of L.A. and go to Houston. I can't even say it with a straight face.
Wow, y'all are really hopping off
the Nico train already.
Goodness gracious.
It's a joke. But how do you... Wow. Well, Cam, you all right over there? Did I get to the... All right. Cam maybe took that one a little more personal than I thought. So how do you guys see the NFC West playing out with these jumbled up teams?
I have no idea. I'm kind of leaning the Cardinals,
but Kyler's so inconsistent.
Yeah, all these teams. I mean, the Rams, you have to worry about one of their three good players, four good players on offense, getting hurt. And if any one of them goes down, it immediately becomes a way harder situation.
And they face the Bills this week, so good luck with that.
Yeah, so Seahawks, sure. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I don't.
And they played the Cardinals this week, and so I could be going, Cardinals, whatever, next week.
Yeah, and the game's in Arizona. I think I'm taking the Cardinals there. So I really do think the Cardinals are alive, but I don't think it matters. Any one of these teams that rolls into the playoffs and faces probably like the Eagles or the Vikings in the first round. Well, it's not the Vikings. The Vikings would be...
It'll be the Eagles.
It'd be like the Eagles.
Or Vikings.
Because the NFC South team might be going to face the Eagles, and the Vikings as a non-division winner would get moved down a little bit and not face one of these teams. But yeah, I mean, they're going to get rolled. Like if the Seahawks make the playoffs and then have to go to Philadelphia in the wild card round, I mean, they're going to get absolutely rolled.
And all these teams play each other too for the rest of the season. Like I'm looking at the Rams schedule. They have one more game against the Niners. They have one more game against the Arizona, and one more game against Seattle.
So they're all just going to beat each other.
Yeah, Arizona has three division. Like, they all have three division games left. So
that's crazy amount of games.
Three of the last five games. Yeah, for all three teams.
Hmm. Yeah.
For all four.
Certainly not the Texans case. They only got one remaining against the division opponent.
Avenge the loss.
God. Oh, that one.
I'm so glad I was not here that week after the Titans lost.
Yeah, no, that
was like it never even happened. Everyone else had to talk about it for 3 days.
Nope.
I just moved on to Red Zone.
Yeah, no, I actually had a similar fortune because I was only here Monday, Tuesday that week, but I was filling in for Michael Carroll. And so I actually texted.
You're insulated.
I actually texted Joel and Jeremy at, like, I don't know, sometime in the third quarter. It's like, I'm really glad I'm not doing the show on Monday.
I had the same exact thought. In the third quarter, I was like, I already know what tomorrow.
I do not want to do that show.
I already know what the rundown is for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of anger. All right, let's move on to something that no one has any anger over about, the college football playoffs. Certainly no controversy there. That one, the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back. I'm being slandered during the break. I'm trying to give out great movie-going advice, and Sean's over here slandering me. Didn't hear what he said. Don't want to hear what he said. His words hurt.
Just not
sticks and stones break my bones, so do Sean's words. It's not cool,
that's
bro.
That's not how the saying goes.
It's close enough. That's doesn't matter. Saying. Yeah, you're gonna take shots at me for how I say the saying too? What's going on here?
First you recommend the Wolfman, now this?
I stand by. Well, the movie hasn't come out yet. I can't even recommend it. I'm just saying I'm interested in it. Anyway, ESPN Radio 97.5, 92.5. Welcome back in. I'm Brian McDonald alongside Cam Smith, Sean Mapes, and John Belmer. If you want to get in on the conversation, give us a call. Or a text on the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, especially if you have some thoughts on the college football playoffs, because that's what we're talking about right now. Keeping an eye on the Big 12 title game. The winner there between Iowa State and Arizona State is in. The loser is out. So everything on the line right now, Arizona State up by 2 scores at halftime. So, I mean, certainly Big 12 title game, it's winner's in, loser is out. What else do you guys actually think is on the line with today's conference title games? Because I think we'd all agree, Big Ten title game, Oregon, obviously, and then Penn State, both are in, win or loss.
Yeah, it's
winner. Same thing, SEC, Georgia, Texas, doesn't matter if they lose, they're in. What do you mean?
You think if Georgia loses that they'll still get in at 10-3?
Absolutely. Yes. Alabama's right now in with three losses.
I can't stand those mother.
Wow. I mean, Belmer, you might have to creep closer to the dumb button talking about SEC football.
I chose my words carefully.
Got Cam riled up.
Yeah. Whatever.
No, say it. You got heat? Bring it, brother.
I understand that the SEC, I guess, is still considered the top-tier conference. Maybe it's just the fact that I hate Alabama. At 9-3, I don't know why.
Who would you put in over them?
Probably Miami, right?
I mean, if that's the argument, Miami's played nobody. That's kind of the pushback on a team like Miami. Like, look at their schedule. They've got, I mean, how many teams currently ranked have they beaten? I don't think there's a single one.
I mean, I get it.
They beat Pittsburgh when they were ranked, but now Pittsburgh's dropped out. I can't think if they had another ranked win. I think they had one more ranked win at the time.
They haven't played that might have changed with the last ranking, but they haven't played a team that is ranked.
Yeah. I'm looking at the rest of the college football top 25 for the playoff rankings. There's not a single team on here. The only team on here that they played is Syracuse, who beat them.
I don't know. I mean, I guess because they're sitting. I don't know. The three losses just doesn't.
Yeah.
It irks me.
I mean, three losses. I know, but I mean, I think you're coming from what we've been used to. Now that there's 12 teams, you're going to have a world where three lost teams get in.
Right. And I guess I have to get used to that because this is the first year that it's been this many teams in the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, even BYU at two losses. I mean, I guess Alabama would still be in it because they'd be number 12. So. I don't know. I guess I'm just getting irked for no reason. There's nothing I can do about it. Alabama's always going to be up there.
This is no disrespect. I think it's literally just because it's Alabama. And, like, if it was South Carolina that was getting picked at 9-3, people would be like, oh, South Carolina, they had a good year. Ended it on a 6-game win streak or whatever it is.
Obviously, the problem being for South Carolina, they lost to Ole Miss. They lost to Alabama.
I'm just saying if like you just like take the helmets off and switch them.
Sure.
Like people would be like, yeah, South Carolina, hell yeah.
I think if you were only to judge like how they're playing right now, South Carolina would have a real argument. Mm-hmm. The problem is you lost to Alabama and you got killed by Ole Miss, so you're out. Alabama, and maybe this goes to your point, like, are we sure Georgia's in? I think Georgia's in. I would put money on Georgia's in no matter what. But, I mean, Alabama did beat Georgia. So if you're saying Alabama's in and Alabama beat Georgia, if Georgia loses, there could be an argument there for what are we keeping Georgia in for.
True, but at the same time.
At least not over Alabama. Like in a situation where if Clemson beats LSU and maybe SMU stays in, then it's going to be a tough conversation. It might be a conversation of Alabama or Georgia.
I think that, well, yeah.
And in that case, Alabama has the head-to-head win.
But I think that at that point they'd both get in because even though Alabama has the head-to-head win, Georgia still technically has one more win.
See you later, SMU. That's what happens.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
see you later.
SMU is ranked eighth right now, so they'd have to stay in the top 11. So they can only afford to move down three spots. You think that's 100%? So
if SMU loses, I'd be surprised if they're still in.
Yeah, I mean, Clemson obviously has to win. They're currently outside of the
Clemson win and in.
So what's getting back to the question? Like what? So we obviously agree.
It's SMU.
In the Big 12 title game, obviously, it's winners in, losers out. So would you say then, it sounds like you're saying 100% SMU loses, they're out?
Yes. Okay. SMU, if they lose, or not 100%, I would just be very surprised if an SMU team who strength of schedule is like in the 70s, it's the lowest of any Power 4 team, if that team who loses... Their two losses would be against the only two ranked teams they played.
Yeah, especially since they suffer some of the same problems of schedule like you mentioned, like Miami does. Like their biggest game would be their home loss to BYU, would it not?
Yes, that would be their biggest game, and other than the one tonight where they play Clemson. And if we're saying they lose that one, you lost to 17-18, and you're going to be 10-2 or 11-2.
With no wins on your schedule from teams. Now when they play Louisville, when they played Pittsburgh, they were ranked, but currently not ranked.
Yeah, I mean Pitt started the season 7-0 and then went on 0-5 skid to end the season. So I think it's fair to say that they're kind of a different team in the second half.
Yeah,
you get to play them. And SMU, it's not fair. I mean, you look at Indiana. Indiana has
that's where I want to go next. And I don't think it's. It's probably not going to change until it affects enough of the big-time schools to where they complain about it. And it's not going to change because of the money's involved. I mean, we see all the Dr. Pepper signage and all the ad sponsorship at the SEC title game. We see it on the field at the Big 12 title game. So there's going to be financial reasons where they would never get rid of the conference championship games. But when you look at SMU versus Indiana, both teams 11-1, both have very soft schedules. I mean, Indiana's strength of schedule is like in the hundreds. Yet Indiana is not having to play in the conference title game, and SMU – In the scenario where they lose to Clemson, is getting penalized for playing in a conference title game when now SMU ranked one spot ahead of Indiana. I hate the conference championship games for that reason. Like, you either have a scenario where in the case of the SEC title game or the Big Ten title game, there's nothing to play for. The only thing at stake right now, I guess a bye. But the only thing other than the bye at stake for these guys is not getting hurt, not having the catastrophic injury that could ruin your season like it did for Florida State last year. Whereas the other part of that is you have teams that are getting – you either have nothing to play for but you're risking injury, or you have everything to play for because you're going to get penalized if you lose.
Yep.
Over teams that didn't have to play in the conference title. Like Alabama's not having to play in the conference title game. I mean, Indiana's the biggest one, but
– Yeah, and yes, it won't really be an issue until it's a – instead of SMU, it's – whatever. It's Ohio State.
That's the only way it changes. Like, if this were to happen to an Alabama whoever, like a blue-blood school.
The thing is, what we're saying with Georgia, I don't think it would happen. Like, the Georgia example, like, if it was a 10-2 ACC team going into the I mean, I think an 11-1 SMU has to worry about winning and getting in. Yeah. If it was a 10-2 SEC team that was in here, I don't think we'd be like, oh my god, what if they lose? They might be out. I think it would be. I mean, Georgia is projected at the 7th seed right now.
Yeah, I just, man, I don't like conference championship games. I get that it's probably not going to change, but the scenario specifically with SMU loses and they're out, even though they have the exact same situation as Indiana, strikes me as completely unfair. What would you guys think about? Because obviously they're not going to go backwards on money, but what if you get rid of the conference championship games and play an extra conference game? So you're still playing the same amount of games. You're still giving the TV partners the same amount of games. But you add a conference game on in the regular season instead of the conference championship game.
I think they should add a conference game and also play a championship game.
Yeah, because I think the conference championship comes into play when the teams are like head-to-head win and loss record.
Yeah, like what do you have to tied? Find.
You have to find. Like if both teams go into it and they're both 11-1, you have to find a way to dub somebody.
And the conferences are so big that
I mean they're not going to do this. So I'm going to say this, and I know it has 0% chance of happening. But you can make it like baseball, where if they're tied, they play game 163. Like,
not a conference championship game?
But do it only when needed is what I'm saying. Like, leave that week open, and only in the scenario where you guys are talking about, you play game 163. But anyway, let's quickly get in Lamont before we go to the break, because I don't think we're going to have time for him on the other side of the break. Lamont calling in, wanted to talk about Texans offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick. Lamont, thanks for joining us, man. What do you got?
Slay, man, I just wanted been having this discussion with some friends, and people are going against me about, you know, if the Texans got rid of Bobby Slowick, who would be a preferred, these two people, who would be a preferred OC? I said Josh McDaniels. Everybody else is saying Bieniemy. And I'm like, I don't even understand how Bieniemy is still a topic of conversation right now. And I just think that I believe that Josh McDaniels would be the natural, the dude actually called plays. He has Super Bowl pedigree, and he worked with Casario. It seems that cut and dry to me, but people still want Eric Bieniemy, and that dude hasn't done anything to even be on a radar to me. And I just want to know what you guys think about those two choices. You probably have your own ideas of what should happen with Slowick or anything, but I just want to know if my idea is too obtuse. That's all I have, fellas. And also, what I don't like about the conference championship game, it exposes your players for one extra game to get hurt, man. And I know that's probably kind of out there, but say, for instance, viewers get hurt today. Well, the game season is – if viewers get hurt today and they steal some kind of way win, it's over. That's all I have, fellas.
All right. Lamont, thank you for calling in. We're up against it, so let's answer that question on the other side. That when the bullpen returns, we're going to get into Lamont's question of Texans offensive coordinator if they make the move to move on from Bobby Slowick, or if Bobby Slowick in the off chance gets a head coaching job somewhere else. That when the bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and
92.5. ESPN 97.5.